when your GM dies.
Right. We were joking about, like, this is an episode about dealing with death, but we didn't specify.
Right,
like,
right.
It's real life death.
So we're going to talk about how to go through the steps of trauma when your actual GM dies. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do that.
At the table?
Has it happened to anybody?
No.
Let's see. I've never been playing a game and had the guy who was running the game drop dead there at the table. No. Is that a common experience?
We're missing out a demographic of listeners, I think.
Are we?
Yeah.
Well, I'm prepared. I have CPR training and I'm certified, so I'm prepared for it to happen. And first aid. Oxygen.
Cool. I mean, yeah, I got Google, so I can do that.
Yeah, Google is great, but that doesn't, the Good Samaritan law doesn't protect you.
Yeah, you wouldn't be legally protected with just Google.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess, we should throw that out to any listeners. If you've ever been playing a game and your GM has just died in the middle of the game, I kind of don't want to hear stories about that because that just sounds really sad.
Just send them to me. I want to hear them.
Okay, send them directly to Garof.
To Garof.
Yep.
Garof loves that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very important aspect of RPGs, I think. Death at the table.
Be prepared for GM death.
Literal death at the table.
But what we're actually talking about today is dealing with death of player characters.
Oh, that makes more sense.
So why don't we? Why don't we jump in then?
Do it.
Let's go.
That's still
okay.
A thing.
We'll get it next time.
It's still a thing.
Yeah, that's our thing, and we're gonna do it forever.
Supposed to say it all at once?
No, it's fine. So everyone, welcome to Experience Pointers. We are a group of GMs and lifelong gamers who are here to talk about different aspects of role playing games, specifically running them, and hopefully offer up some fun tips that you can bring into your home games at home. My name is Jordan Caves Callerman. I am one of the hosts.
My name is Megan Caves. I am another one of the hosts.
No relation.
My name is Garof Galati, and I'm the third one of the hosts.
All of us are hosts. That was good. All right. We're getting there. We're going to get some bits going. Let's jump into our topic of discussion. So like you guys said, today we are talking about how to handle PC death at your table.
And I actually think we should start with any time our own PCs have died. So not when we were GMs, but when we played in a game and PCs have died. I definitely had one in one of the earlier games I had. We were just talking about this, but was that second edition D&D?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we were playing? And we were playing in, you said, Dragonlance?
I believe it was Dragonlance, yeah. This was a game we played in college with one of our professors as the DM. He's actually, he also officiated our wedding.
He did.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
And he was our stage combat professor.
That's true.
So much fun. And clowning.
And our clowning professor.
Yes.
What the hell?
Oh, yeah, we had a cool college experience.
Oh, man. But yeah, she died. I don't even remember how she died. I remember one point. So it was a rogue. She was a rogue. And she was... This was the first time when I had a character when I got her into trouble in a way that I'd never done before. And I played her as kind of brash. And so she would just go and like open something. I mean, as a rogue, she was kind of dumb, but open something without checking it. And she did. There was one session in which she was frozen for about half of it because there was like a...
Yeah, you triggered a paralysis trap and we just had to stay in this house and wait with you just standing in the doorway until it wore off.
So
I remember how she died.
That was, so I feel like it was similar to that, right?
No.
No, I didn't just walk into something?
No, so the thing was, in that game, he brought us in, since we were new to that campaign, everyone else in the campaign had been playing for a while, he brought us in as lower level characters. So we started at level one, but everyone else was several levels higher than us.
Oh,
which is a big deal in second edition AD&D. So what happened was, we were just ambushed, it was just a random encounter, on the way to what our adventure was supposed to be, and you just got one shot. By a random bandit.
I forgot about that.
The bandits ended up being way stronger, I think, than he anticipated, because he had some wizard we'd never met before show up and be like, and Gandalf us out of the situation, like, oh, exploding pine cones, get out of here. And then even though he had specifically set up that it was a very low magic, resurrection was a super hard thing to come by sort of campaign world, he felt so bad that he had just accidentally completely annihilated you that we resurrected you.
Yeah, we went, he did give us away for them to resurrect me. So I remember that.
And now, to his credit, he tried very hard to like imbue a lot of importance and significance into the ritual, but it was clearly something he was not prepared for and was having to kind of like do on the spot.
So I do remember that one. I don't maybe because we hadn't played the game for very long and I was fairly new to RPGs at the time, I don't remember being like, oh crap, my character. But But it was kind of like a, oh, okay. and then another time when one of my characters died was in Call of Cthulhu on Black Bag on Saving Throw.
Mm-hmm.
But this is sort of a different thing entirely because Call of Cthulhu is sort of almost, it's deadly. I mean, it's built to really not have characters that last for a very long time.
Yep.
This was Evie, and it was the season finale. And, you know, Evie's trying to, I mean, it was kind of like this last-ditch effort of everybody trying to escape all this crazy stuff and take down this president and get away. And, you know, I mean, the odds were stacked against us.
I think most of us died in that session.
Yeah, most of us did die in that session. So that felt a little different. And then one of the big ones that really bothered me at the time was in the Secret World game, mm-hmm. the Savage Worlds game that you run, Jordan. Mm-hmm. And the second session,
mm-hmm.
this character, probably one of my most favorite characters, Adelaide, I've ever played.
It is a really good character. I wish it was a character you played on stream on
Saving
Throw.
I'll bring her to stream eventually because she's a lot of fun. She died. We were fighting this. I mean, you know, it's Savage World. It's deadly. We were fighting in this church.
Well, you were fighting some specifically deadly in Savage Worlds enemies.
And she died. And I made it awkward at the table. I couldn't help it. I was pissed.
Yeah,
I was like,
no. You got real mad at me.
No. I got very mad. But I'll let you discuss how you handled that, actually. Because that's sort of part of your thing. But I think those were the only three times, other than, and we'll probably touch on this later, but other than in like one shots in which it was sort of designed to die.
Mm-hmm. My big character death happened in the first game of D&D that I ever played in, which was in college. It was 3.5. And we had been playing for forever. I think my character was like, I think I was 15th or 16th level at that point. I had a paladin. And it was just a random encounter. We were in this like bizarre temple. And while everyone was asleep, I had watch. And we basically were beset upon by, like, a minor deity of death, essentially, came after us. So we were able to fight it off, and I was able to do a bunch of, you know, like, awesome paladin smiting and stuff like that. But I died during the battle. Like, at the end of it, I died basically protecting the rest of the party. And we had a cleric who didn't have resurrection. They had reincarnation, which is an interesting spell in 3.5 because it would bring you back to life, but not as what you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Your race would change or some other aspect of you would change. And one of our party members had already been brought back a couple of times that way and had changed races a few times during the game. But I actually... The whole thing with reincarnation was the soul of your PC has to be okay with being brought back or else it won't work. So I thought about it for a little bit and then I decided to not bring my character back to life because it was such a cool death. It was like I got to die fighting this evil, like, minor god and protecting my friends. And I was like, that's a good way for this paladin character that I've built to die. Like, that just feels good. And at that point, I was like, I think I'm ready to create another character. I think it'll be fun. Like, it just sort of, it felt right. So I talked to the GM, and we figured it out, and I just, that was the end of that character. And I think that's something you can do. Like, anytime a character dies like that, really, like, as players and as GMs, like, think about the situation and the surrounding, things that went into that death and see if it feels like a complete storytelling thing before you just immediately decide you want to come back to life and figure out a way to do it no matter what.
I agree with that.
Garav, you were saying something interesting before we started this. You've actually never had a PC die.
Yeah. In any sort of campaign that I've only been playing for a couple of years now, but yeah, I've never had a PC die, and it's not for lack of trying. I've had moments in games where I was... And it's not for lack of trying.
Uh-huh.
I've had many moments in games that I've played where I was like, this seems like a good spot for my character to die. An example of that is when I was playing the Star Wars RPG, Edge of the Empire, with David Crennan on Never Tell Me the Odds on Saving Throw. I had done four arcs with that character, Grango, which is a Toydarian like gambler, smuggler. And he's always been a greedy guy, pretty selfish, and shows very small moments of heroicness, but most of the time he's in it for himself. And he got to a point where he was being greedy for greedy's sake, and he was going after money instead of helping friends. And I was like, this seems like a good place for him to die because he's doing something very dangerous and in a situation where he could die. And David just didn't seem like that was the right time. even though I did, I felt like, yeah, this is probably the right time, but he still did not want to kill me.
Did you guys talk about it at all? Or was this just sort of like an unspoken thing that
was
going on?
We didn't talk about it at all until after the fact. And even after, he was like, you know what? I probably should have killed you. I think you're right. I probably should have. And I'm like, well, I mean, now the moment's passed. You can't really do it at this point.
That's an interesting point. Like, you're talking about basically cooperatively deciding between a player and GM that it's time to kill a character because of the, like, necessities of the story. Like, that's an interesting thing that not a lot of people, I think, want to jump into.
Yeah. Because
most people are motivated by keeping their characters alive at all costs.
I've always said I'm a big fan of failure in games, and that's, like, the biggest failure you can have, probably, I think, is having your character die.
Sure.
But for what it means to the story, what it would have meant, it was the end of that episode arc, and I feel like that would have been the moment for him to die. And he didn't, but at the same time, like, he's still one of my favorite characters. He's still technically alive. I wanted to bring him back or whatever. But, like, there's moments where I was like, I wish that character would have died, and that was one of them.
Sure.
I've had deaths in, like, one-shots before. But
yeah,
like,
I mean, who hasn't?
Yeah, I mean, that's what one-shots are for, you know. They're for experiment. I've had other players die at the table, which have been very cool moments. At the very end, it was Amy Vorpal's character, Merce. And at the very end, I'm sorry, she switched later. She was playing the husband and then got to her wife in the prison. But it was such a cool freaking moment that even set up like a couple arcs after that because of that.
There's any stories about that either. I think a big thing you have to do from the outset is manage expectations.
Uh-huh.
So Megan, you mentioned in Call of Cthulhu, your PCs they have an expiration date. Like, you basically go in knowing they're going to die eventually.
Well, that whole game system seems to be set up for, you either go crazy or you die.
Right.
I mean, it's not really built to win.
Eventually, your character is taken out of the picture and you have to come in with a new character.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Garab, you mentioned in one-shots, and we all sort of backed you up on that. Like, one-shots are kind of like, those characters are temporary.
Disposable,
so, like,
yeah.
They're disposable, exactly. You feel the ability to kind of try different things with them. And a lot of GMs will run deadly one-shots because it is kind of an arena in which it's okay to kill PCs in a one-shot. I mean, not that it's not in a campaign, but it's definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the best way to handle PC death is to be upfront with your players from the get-go about the level of deadliness that you're going to be having in your game. Now, that's provided that all of that is done on purpose. Accidental PC death is another thing that we'll get to in a second. But, like, if you want to run a specifically deadly game, let your players know from the get-go. They're going to build their characters different. They're going to invest in their characters in a different way because they're going to know, okay, there's a potential at any point this character could be taken away from me. So I'm already a little bit ready for that.
Yeah. I think it depends on the game system, too. I mean,
sure.
Like, Savage Worlds is fairly brutal. Cthulhu, of course, is definitely brutal.
Mm-hmm.
D&D can be, but D&D can kind of be various different things. It is interesting, though, because I have some characters, like Rosaline on Wild Cards. I do not want her to die.
But unfortunately, you're playing in Savage Worlds, which is a very swingy system, and there's ample room for just a little tiny spider that you're fighting to just ace a damage die over and over again and kill you.
Which makes me super nervous. I mean, I spend a lot of time, like, I don't want Rosaline to die. I don't want anybody else to die either because I like the dynamic so much.
Sure.
And Adelaide too. I mean, in Savage Worlds, I don't want her to die because I like her so much and it would be disappointing. But then I've had some other characters like Josie on Black Bag. It's not that I was like, oh, kill her off, but I could see just the way she was going. It'd be really cool for her to have this crazy, interesting death or whatever. And I was more...
Because I was built into the system. We knew to expect it.
Well,
so
even,
we were looking even, for opportunities to have a crazy death.
Even beyond that, though, I just felt like... I don't know. I that was something I felt good about for that character. Maybe I will in the future for Rosaline. I don't know. I'm just not done with any of those characters yet.
So I want to touch really quickly on your character, Adelaide, dying in our home game, the Secret World game that I ran, because... While that particular moment of death was not decided upon by me, that was due to a roll of the dice, I did let you guys know that the game was very brutal from the get-go, and I tried to let you guys know that there was a high chance of player death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason for that is, in the Secret World game that I was running, you guys were fresh initiates to this, like, secret society, and you had been, like, chosen and elevated above, like, normal humanity. What you guys were figuring all this stuff out at the time, I knew... that you guys actually couldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that anytime you guys died, you were basically shunted off into the spirit world, but you could find your way back to your body and just come back to life, just like
well,
in the game.
And if any of you all know what the secret world is, and I'm play, I mean, it's an MMO, what does it stand for? Massive multi-online?
Massively
multiplayer online
there we
RPG.
Go. In case you don't know what that is. And so, you know, that's basically set up that way. And
right.
That's what it's like in the game system. You just go off to Agartha and you come back.
But you didn't know that.
No. I didn't.
So you died in that fight, and I wasn't going to bring you back till after the fight. And the other two, you were very mad at me. You were super mad at me, and I was trying to get the other two players out of that situation because they were also sure that you had died, and they were just running for their lives.
Those poor guys were brand new to RPGs too, so they're sitting there like, "Oh God,
what's
happened?
She's so mad.
Why is she so mad?" And it's because you had created a cool character and you had invested in her very quickly.
Yeah.
But I knew as soon as that fight was over, I was going to bring you back to life, but I had to kind of, like, I made the decision, even though you were mad at me, I was like, I'm going to let her sit with this so that it feels more impactful when her character resurrects.
Sure.
And then after that point, you guys, like, you didn't know for sure that that was going to happen every time one of you died, but it was kind of like, oh, we can just kind of come back. That's weird. And that was a part of the game system that you guys didn't know about.
Well, I think that's kind of an interesting thing. Sort of what you're saying just makes me think of, you know, managing expectations. Because even if you're playing in Call of Cthulhu, you're playing in Savage Worlds, you're playing in D&D, if you have a group that's like, I really don't want to play with character death. I don't want that to be something that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you can go, okay, if that's really, if you're okay with that and understand how that changes the stakes, and that's what you guys want, then we can totally find different ways to raise the stakes or whatever and not worry about your character dying. Or, I mean, that the thing about character death is, yeah, it raises the stakes in a different way. You invest in your characters in a different way. It really changes if you get rid of it. But at the same time, I think there's validity to both depending upon the table, the group, the game, and what you guys actually want to do. I mean, isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
You know, people always say the rules are just sort of guidelines because
yeah.
It's really about you having fun at the table.
You know what system handles not wanting your players to die really well? Is Savage Worlds,
does it?
It does.
I thought this one time you were going to pick something else.
It's always going to be Savage Worlds. There's actually a setting rule called Heroes Never Die, which is something you specifically outline for your players at the beginning. And you think of that in terms of like a comic book story. Like, no one ever actually dies. If you're defeated, you're like exhausted and like someone gets away, or like it only seemed like you were dead and then you come back. Or like in the case of villains, it's like, aha, no, that was a life model decoy of me. The real me was here in this volcano lair. Like, there's always some way that people escape death, and that's just part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a literal rule you can put on the table so everyone knows it. And like you're saying, yes, it changes the stakes, but it also, yeah, it kind of takes the game in a different direction. And that's something you can do in any game system.
Yeah.
Well, I think sort of along the lines, like, if you do want to take death out but still have consequences, because then you can still have your stakes, it's sort of like the reincarnation sort of thing. It's like, okay, if you die, something's going to change. You're going to lose something, or you're going to have to switch to this or whatever. That can also be stakes, but in that way you get to keep your character.
And I have a really interesting story about that I really want to tell. But first, I want to see, Gaurav, so you've never had a character die, but you have had characters die in games that you've run.
Right. Well,
in one-shots, right?
In one-shots, yeah.
And then, did anyone ever handle that poorly, like, at your table? Did any player ever get, like, upset at you?
Probably Amy. Amy does that.
Sure.
Amy Vorpal.
Sure, yeah, that's to be expected.
In the one shot I ran for Saving Throw a couple months ago, that was the Roll for Shoes game I did that was, like, PUBG based, which you guys played in for a little bit.
We did.
I basically, the plot of that game and PUBG itself is that it's 100 people jump in and 4 survive. Everybody else dies. And I wasn't going to make it like, no, they teleport out. No, you die. So basically everybody except the people at the table were going to die. Even people at the table died as well. But Amy played 3 different characters that night, and I had her get killed almost in the same way, not on purpose, but it just seemed to happen that way.
Well, that's Roll for Shoes.
I mean, yeah, that's Roll
yeah.
for Shoes. You can
yeah.
do that kind of wacky stuff with it. And I think that game wouldn't have been as good if people didn't just die, if they didn't have that happen to them.
Yeah, it was almost comically violent.
Yes,
that people were just dying left and right, and that it became the setup expectation, because what you did is the people at the table, your legitimate PCs, were just NPCs from other saving throw games,
right?
And then you would bring in groups, like grouped teams of PCs from specific saving throw games, and it just became like, oh, here comes the posse from Wild Cards. We're going to kill them in a hilarious way. just the bit that it became.
Right, right. And, I mean, Megan, you were talking about how taking out death changes the stakes of an RPG, and I totally agree, and I don't think I would be as invested in any game that didn't have that going on. Like, if I played in a game where you came back to life, like you were saying in your Secret World Home game, like, afterwards I'd be like, well, I don't really know if anything's any dangerous anymore. Like, is anything gonna kill me, or is this just like a temporary thing? Or I don't know. I'm not gonna save my friend if they're in danger. They're gonna come back to life until things change. I mean, you weren't very clear about it, but
and I had that planned for as well, because that's where if you've done your prep as a GM, that's when you introduce a character who actually has figured out a way to kill these evolved human beings.
Right.
So every now and then you come into conflict with this person that's like, oh no, I can actually end you, and they're like, oh crap, we're so used to treating ourselves as expendable because we can just come back to life. Like, now we have to be careful.
You like to do that a lot of like, oh yeah, oh, you think this is safe now? Well, then here you go.
I do like to do that.
That's what Jordan is like as a GM.
Wow. I don't actually think that's fair at all.
It's totally fair.
But I want to talk about, for a little bit, accidental PC death. Okay. So, like, the deaths that happen when you as a GM are not actually planning on a deadly encounter. When it's just, like, an unlucky roll of the die or an encounter that you improperly balanced for
like
difficulty.
Like my first character, Ariel.
Yes, like the AD&D character, like we talked about sort of how he handled that. We could tell our GM felt really bad that was absolutely not what he intended to happen. And he kind of, that session sort of became about us gathering the people and materials necessary to resurrect you instead of what he had originally set up. In a 5e D&D game I was running, I was actually running the starter box game Lost Minds of Phandelver for a bunch of people who had never played D&D before, and Megan.
Yep, I'm always there, apparently.
Yeah. And there was a guy who was playing a cleric, and he was a cleric of a life god, like a goddess of life, and you know, pretty standard, like, healing cleric kind of character.
Sure.
There are some encounters in Lost Minds of Phandelver that are incredibly brutal.
That green dragon.
Well, we weren't even there. There was an ambush by some hobgoblins in a barn that I set up. The ambush is supposed to take place somewhere else, but because of the way everything worked out in my game, I had it set up in a barn, and I had them led there by a doppelganger, all kinds of weird stuff. But it was just three hobgoblins that got surprised. And in 5th edition, when hobgoblins get a surprise attack, they can do a crap load of stuff to you.
Yeah.
And they just basically destroyed this guy's cleric. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, it wasn't even on purpose, but I was trying not to pull any punches. I was rolling in front of the screen because I wanted them to see the rolls and everything. And I rolled a crap load of damage against him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
That seems so unusual for you.
No, damage dice don't explode in D&D.
Mr. High Roller here.
And I killed him. And it was the end of the session, and he was super disappointed. Like, he had just started playing. This was his first character ever. And I murdered him in a semi-inconsequential story beat. So what happened was, after he left, I kind of sat down for a bit, and I was like, I don't want his character to end that way. I'm not going to give them true resurrection or anything like that, because they're not at the point that anyone should be able to bring them back to life that way. But what I did is I sent him an email that was like an RP email, and I basically said that he appeared in the presence of his goddess, and she told him that there was more work for him to do yet, and she wanted to send him back to his body, but there would be a price. And I outlined for him what the price would be, and then I asked him if he accepted this. And he did, so the next session, I brought his character back to life. Now, the price was, he had to preserve life at all costs. Meaning, if he ever, intentionally or unintentionally, was responsible for killing any living creature, he would immediately be destroyed. I completely changed his character. Like, I changed him physically. Like, he came back looking, like, with white hair and, like, weird ethereal features. And he was completely dedicated to the cause of life. And he was like, sure, yeah, whatever, I'll take it. But when he started playing, he was like, oh, okay, cool. So now I can't really cast damaging cleric spells because if I accidentally do enough damage to kill someone, then I am dead.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay, yeah, I see how this has sort of changed the way I have to play.
Right.
But, and like, that's why I gave him the choice for that. I was like, hey, you know, if you don't want to play a character like this, then just say no to your goddess, and then we'll build a new character for you. But if you want to keep playing with this guy, here's the trade-off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing I love about RPGs, is you have the freedom to do stuff like that, if you want to. Like, I wanted to throw him a bone because he was new, his character had been killed immediately, and I was like, come on, let's keep playing,
yeah.
But I'm going to change some stuff about your character. And it kind of took things in a new and interesting direction that I think was fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want to touch upon is that death in RPGs is kind of... In most games, it's unavoidable at some point when you play long enough. Someone will probably die.
Yeah.
When I played in a campaign where it was going on for... It was longer than I got in the middle of it, so it was going on for, 3 years. And someone in that campaign... It was getting near the end. Someone had died. And they did it in a very heroic way in which they killed the bad guy and sacrificed themselves and did, there was a huge explosion and he died. The way that... The DM created this was so low-key and uneventful,
yeah,
that it felt like a slap to the face to him and to us as
sure,
players. Like,
sure.
We felt so bad for him who's been playing this character for 2 years, and we were like, come on, death has to matter. It has to matter. Like, this has to be a big event for him, for us. Like, it needs to be a big thing, not just okay, I'll take your miniature off the mat.
Yeah.
It's like, no. This is a huge deal.
Especially a death that was set up in that way.
Right, yeah.
So... Yeah, a heroic sacrifice or something like that. As a GM, you have to give that mm-hmm. weight and merit and,
yeah.
Make it seem cool.
Yeah.
Because, if you're just okay, great job.
Yeah.
Well, you're dead now.
I had this great idea, which I really want to do if a player dies in my campaign, in my Curse of Strahd campaign, is that I will, whenever they die, and then I'm going to have the players bury them, and I'm going to have them move to my living room, put the player on the couch, and act like it's a funeral. Just have them lay there and say things to that player as though they're dead, in a grave.
That's pretty mm-hmm. cool.
And just to see, how they react to that. At the table, you don't really think about that stuff. But when you're
sure.
standing in front of a body that's with their eyes closed, you tend to think of funerals and
you're going to have
things.
Them eulogize a dead
exactly.
PC. That's,
yeah.
that's a pretty fun idea,
yeah.
actually.
Mm. So, but it hasn't happened yet, so.
Interesting.
But then also sort of on the note of that scenario you just described in the game you were playing, Garof, I think, in my wild cards game, it's deadly. No one has died yet. I don't really... You guys have maybe gotten close, twice
mm-hmm.
in 2 seasons of
oh,
doing
yeah.
it. It doesn't happen very frequently. You guys have a lot of resources on your side. But I do want, if you guys die on accident, I want that to be a thing that we live with, and I don't want to save you because the setting is super deadly. And sometimes I'm trying to keep it, despite the supernatural tone, I'm trying to keep it realistic and grounded to a certain extent. And sometimes stuff just goes catastrophically wrong and people die on accident.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
That's the way things happen in life.
I hate it.
And I know you
I
do.
Hate it.
But I think it kind of it sets stakes in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been upfront with you guys about that at the table, so I'm not gonna just surprise you or be a malevolent GM that's like, no, you tripped and fell face first onto that rake and now you're dead. But
well, I would really hate it.
Sometimes stuff does happen like that, and I wanna bring that into the game. But I would still try and give that importance and weight in a different way. And I think that's really what it comes down to as a GM, is respecting your players and respecting the work they've done in creating these characters, and give them a send-off that doesn't make them feel robbed or like they've wasted their time or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. Like, make it matter in one way or another. Be respectful of the people at your table when PC death happens. I think that's a really big thing to keep in mind as a
yeah.
GM.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you've invested in a character, it can hurt.
Yeah, it definitely can.
It really can. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like we've touched on this quite a bit. Do you think we should move on to the question of the
sode? Oh, we're off this time. That's okay. We'll get it next time.
Okay, this actually, I found a really... interesting question here on Reddit, the RPG Reddit, and it's the question comes from Michael Aaron Blank, And so he says, what song do you think you could turn into an adventure seed? I was thinking Safety Dance. A religious division occurs between factions in a country based on whether they do or do not dance. So I've never thought about taking something like a song and going, I'm going to create an adventure based upon that. I think that is such a cool
thought. Such a fun idea.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also something that had never occurred to me to mine song lyrics for adventure seeds.
Somebody else
in that
mentioned
way.
Utilizing, I lost it. Utilizing Hotel California.
Damn it, that was my idea.
For Ravenloft.
Hotel California is a good one.
Uh huh. Yeah,
and because that one goes to some dark places.
It does, yeah.
It does. There are a bunch of other that people are talking about. It seems like here's someone talking about the immigrant song.
I think I would do actually. I would love to do like in that Secret World game that we ran, like a modern, like sort of horror game. Mm-hmm. I would love to do Don't Stop Believing, because the image of streetlight people. like has always stuck in my head.
That's horrifying.
You know, streetlight people. Like you know, out. Living just to find emotion.
Yeah.
I feel like you could come up with some like interesting, like that is not a dark song, but some images from that could actually be pulled into a game in an interesting way.
Yeah. Oh, there's also Florence the Machine's Heavy. I feel like you could do some interesting things with that one because it's all about like somebody carrying someone else and there's like this like chain on their legs. I mean, it's sort of a like love song, but I think you could just sort of like what you're saying, just take pieces out of it and pull it into something else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my idea, it was actually going to be Hotel California, but now that I can't use that.
You can use Hotel. Talk about what in Hotel California drew you.
Well, I thought of something even better actually. Well, Hotel California.
Okay, well then screw Hotel California.
Hotel California. Actually, I've always loved songs that tell a story.
Yeah.
Those have always been my favorite songs, and that's one of my very favorites. So Hotel California, I mean, you could do so much with that. Just like if it's in D&D, Ravenloft obviously is a great place for it, but travelers who are just like down a weary road and they're like, oh, we got to rest. Oh, there's a nice looking inn. And they go inside and they're like, okay, this is nice. We'd like to leave. They're like, oh, you can't leave. You can never leave.
Yeah.
So that's a fun idea. Another song I thought of is Gorillaz is one of my favorite bands. Mm. And they have a really cool song. I believe it's off Demon Days called Fire Coming Out of the Monkey's Head.
Oh my gosh, that's such a cool story song.
It's literally just a guy telling a story, and it's done so well, and it's always gotten such cool images in my head.
Yeah,
that it could be.
I haven't listened to that in forever. That's that'd be
a
really
good
cool
song.
One.
Yeah, but basically, yeah, that is a story about like how there's these a group of people who are living in this mountain called Monk People from the modern world, and they're like, oh, you guys have these gems in these mines. We want to mine them. And then those people start having nightmares. And it just gets worse and worse and worse until like that mountain just.
Something you could do, or
I mean, you could do like a Nordic, like Origins of IKEA, and listening to a Johnny Cash song.
Are you sure you weren't reading a magazine about?
I was
clothes?
Not reading a catalog for Coldwater Creek,
which
clothing.
We still get mailed to us.
No, I was. I can't remember the name of the song, and someone's gonna make fun of me for that because it's a really well-known Johnny Cash song, but it's about like a nameless stranger coming. It's another story song.
Okay.
And the name of the town is Agua Frio that he comes into. And I was like, ooh, cold water. That's a really cool name, but I'd want to add something extra to it. I'll come up with this independently of knowing that it's a clothing catalog. So I actually, and then also Ghost Riders in the Sky. There was someone on YouTube who asked a question under one of the Wildcards videos about coming up with a horror campaign. Or a horror adventure idea, and I used Ghost Riders in the Sky as an example of one that they could mine for material. So, yeah, I forgot about that. But yeah, the song lyrics really have, like, there's just some, like,
so much there.
Poetic turns of phrase. It doesn't have to be the whole song. It could just be, like, one part of it that sticks in your head that you could really turn into a whole thing.
Next time you run Roll for Shoes, those are the scenarios. Should just be songs.
That's a good
pick
idea.
Pick a top 40 song, put it on shuffle, and that's the scenario.
Ooh, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Roll for Shoes based on Candy Shop.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's back in the top 40 for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Why is he there? What happened?
I would love to hear other listeners of our podcast. If you guys have ideas, please tweet them.
Yeah.
Because this is such a cool seed for ideas.
Yeah. Tweet them at exppointerspod. That's on Twitter. Tweet them to us because this is exciting. Like I feel like I could sit there and think of a million different things based upon this.
Yeah, and we just finished season 2 of Wildcards. So tweet us your songs and I'll start writing them down in a notebook and coming up with ideas for next season.
Well, next season of Wildcards is going to be weird.
Yep.
Weirder than this one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess it's something you guys know that I don't.
No, I don't know what she knows. I don't know why she's saying that. I mean, I know it's going to be
weird. Well, if you're going to base it on random songs, it's
going to
be weird.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you're talking about specific to this situation. I already knew it was going to be weird, but I thought you just...
That was a big miss here between all three of us, I feel like.
But that's okay. They can't all be winners.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much it for us.
Yeah, that's it.
We got it. So, we should roll into our schnazzy new pre-recorded outro.
Really? Here it comes.
There it is.
Is it? Is that?
That's it. It's happening now.
And we're talking under it.
Yep.
Okay, good. You can do that, right? You can layer us underneath our pre-recorded outro.
It would have been better if we just bantered into it.
Okay.
Banter, 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 banter.
Can this not count as that?
We could just keep recording, and I'll cut this part out.
Oh, I love this part.
No.
Best part ever.
Cut it!
Oh, Dom's here now.
Shoot it, team! This podcast has been a Saving Throw production. You can connect with us on Twitter at @exppointerspod, and you can follow each of the hosts on Twitter at their respective handles. Jordan is @JordanCallerman, Megan is @MeganCaves, and Garav is @DoubleGXG. You can also watch us streaming RPGs and more at the Saving Throw Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Saving Throw Show. If you want to listen to new episodes of this podcast early, consider becoming a Saving Throw Patreon backer. Patrons at the $10 level and up can listen to new episodes a week early. You can also help us out by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you found it to help get the word out. Thanks for listening, guys.